Number one, just in review quickly, we're going to review and go through just the main issues. The feminist movement's goal, number one, was to make women masculine. It was to make women masculine. They wanted to make women more like men. And if they did that, then they would destroy the order of the sexes. And right now you have men, largely, that look at ladies no different than themselves. They don't treat them like ladies. They don't take care of them. They don't help them. They don't hold the door for them. They don't treat them in a soft manner. They don't treat them like ladies. They treat them like female men. And, you know, it just doesn't work that way, but that's the way it has been. And then you see that breakdown and that familiarity that's there now that was never there before in history. And that's the problem that we face here. That was the goal of the feminist movement, to say, hey, we're equal. We're the same, we're no different, and that's just the way it's going to be. But we are different, thank God. We aren't the same, and amen. I mean, I hope you men appreciate the fact that, you know, your wife isn't exactly like you. I know sometimes you treat your wife like she should be like you. Hey, that's true, isn't it? You sometimes treat your wife like she's supposed to be like you and exactly like you and do things just like you do them, right? But that's not the case. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen. God made them male and female. Don't try to change your wife and make her like you. Amen. If you do that, well, that'd be gross anyway. But I'm just saying, it wouldn't be very fun. You wouldn't want you to look at. You wouldn't want you to be like. You wouldn't want to be like you, your wife to be like you, because you're not sensitive to things that you should be sensitive to. Amen? If you understand that as a man, you'll understand that there's things that you're not sensitive to. There are areas that you need her. That's why she completes you. Amen? That's why that lady completes you. And understand that. That's what the Bible says. That's the woman's job. That's what she does. She's the helpmeet for you. She's the part of you that you need. She was taken from your side. So that's number one. They tried to make her masculine, make a woman masculine, and to take away her identity. Really what it's done is it's stolen the lady's identity. It has taken it away from her, tried to make her like her husband. Number two, their goal was to lower the birth rate. They did a good job of that. It worked. If you've ever talked to young people today that are young married couples and things like that, a lot of them want nothing to do with children. So they get dogs. Now, I'm not against having dogs. I got one. I don't like him very much, but I have him. But I mean, it's for my son. I got him for him because he needed a dog, because I think every boy ought to have a dog, but. Right? Sorry. I really do think every boy should have a dog, though. That's just a personal opinion. That's not in the Bible. I'm just saying that that's my opinion, that I just really do think that boys should have a dog. I mean, anyway. So if you don't have a dog for your son, I sell them. No, I'm just kidding. They are $400 a piece, and I take PayPal. But anyway, no. But I that's just my personal opinion. I think it's good to have him raise a dog and mom can tell him to take care of him, and then mom takes care of him a lot of times. And I'm getting myself in trouble. Anyway, all right. But, you know, that's funny. Lowering the birth rate. So they pick dogs out, they get animals, and they love animals more than they do children. I've seen it, folks. I'm telling you, I've watched it. I have seen it. That is nothing more than a feminist move. They treat that dog like it's a human. That dog is like a human to them. Sorry, kid. That dog is seriously like a human. They pamper it like it's a human. They talk to it like it's a human. And maybe it wears a bib and sits at the table in a baby's chair. I don't know, but they do a lot of weird stuff. I mean, they'll do that with dogs, and they'll treat that dog like it's absolutely part of the family, which it is in some ways, but it's not human. It doesn't have a living soul. Amen? But I know people that believe in abortion, that if you touched a dog and put a dog down or smacked around a dog or something like that, they would think you were the worst person in the whole world. But they'll slaughter a baby wholesale. That is feminism. It was the goal to lower the birth rate, and it worked. Through media, through everything, it lowered the birth rate. what they did is they put in, they lobbied and pushed for strong birth control programming to people and everything else to change the way the natural order of what God had. Amen. That was their big push. To take away the responsibility of a husband and wife, or a lady, if you're living in the wrong way, in fornication, or a lady, and just have the satisfaction. You understand? That's as deep as I'm going to get into that. But that's what I'm saying. That was their goal. Won't take this side of it away from you, but take the responsibility away from you. That was the goal of feminism. That was their goal. And it worked. It has largely worked. As I've read you quote after quote, week after week, it's worked. It's even worked on Christians. It's worked on us. Amen? I can tell you firsthand it worked on me. I'm not going to lie to you. I believed that for a long time. I don't believe it now. Amen? But I believed it for a long time. I believed, I bought into the whole, well, you got to have this many kids and you got to control. So what I'm saying is, so I got to beat God. And I get to tell me how many kids God can bless me with. Now, I'm not saying that we understand there's natural family planning, everything like that. If you don't understand that, see a lady. Ladies. But I'm not explaining that. Anyway, it's not my job. It's an elder lady's job to do that. But anyway, listen, there are those issues. There are those things. But understand this. We've gotten way out of whack with God's order of things. Because we have our own agenda, not God's agenda. We have our own, well, I want this many kids, then I want to be able to go back to work, then I want to be able to do that, then I want to be career oriented. I want to move on, I want to have that nice career, I want to have all those accolades, I want to be this person, because it's not enough for me to be a godly mother. Let me say this to you, lady. The day that it's not enough for you to be a godly mother is the day that you are in direct rebellion to God. If being a godly mother is not enough for you, you are in rebellion to God. Amen? If being a godly wife is not enough to you, then your attitude is rebellious towards God. Because that is the way that God made you. That is what He created you for. He did not create you to be career-oriented and go have and have a business and have everything outside of the home. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing extra things outside of the home. There's nothing wrong with having those extra little things and stuff like that, extra little projects to make money, extra little things. But if it takes you out of the home to do that, if it takes you away from your responsibility, I'm talking about, I know a lot of people in the Proverbs 31 woman, they had extra, you know, eggs and chickens, and they decided to do things with it, and a farm, and some had dogs, and they sell dogs, and they sell puppies or whatever. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. What I'm saying is that when your idea is this, it's not enough for me to be a godly mother. It's not enough for me. I need to have more. Folks, that's feminism. That's not biblical. If you can show me in the Bible where biblical mothers did that, I would love for you to do that. And we're either going to believe that we obey the Bible in faith and practice, or we're just going to talk about it, like most fundamentalists do today. Ouch. They just talk about it. It's just part of their statement. In faith and practice. We hold the Bible in faith and practice. Well, the faith part, but maybe not so much the practice. I know the truth hurts. And this is just Sunday school. Sort of. Number three, the divorce rate. Was there a big push, the divorce rate? Get them to divorce. Make them not happy. Here's why. You change the natural use of the lady in bearing children and guiding the home. When I change that, By lowering the birth rate, when I change that by destroying the genders, the genders, the male female, when I destroy that and make it all equal to one, then the next obvious step is to lower the birth rate. To lower the birth rate, you have to have some attraction to lower the birth rate, and that is the divorce rate, and to get them out of the home and get them more career oriented. Because when I do that, then I change the whole dynamic. I change it all around. Folks, listen, I used to believe all this stuff too. I'm not, most of this stuff besides abortion, things like that, I used to believe. I used to fall into this stuff. I'm just telling you what history has revealed and what's taken place, and that we are not living according to Scripture like we believe. We have been taught, we have been sold a bill of goods, and fundamentalism has brought a lot of it upon us. It has brought a lot of it upon us. Whether you like it or not, you don't have to like it, but just trace the history and read about it. This is all factual history of what took place. Factual. Can be found anywhere. But then the divorce rate. Make them discontent. If you make somebody discontent, the divorce rate goes up. If you make them not happy, the divorce rate goes up. Pushing divorce. Hey, you don't need that man to take care of you. You can do it yourself. You're a woman. Just roar. Happen. Worked. Living independently outside of the husband. Folks, I don't like this whole thing. And you may not like what I'm about to say, but you know that doesn't bother me. This whole, I'll have this bank account, I'll have this bank account, this is your money, this is my money. How is that unity? Could you tell me what the, and by the way, never mind, I'll wait on that one. That's not unity. Well, this is my money, this is your money. Since when? I thought you were not your own. I thought you were each other's. I thought you were one unit. I didn't think you were separated. I thought you were supposed to be all together. I thought you were supposed to be one. I didn't know you had your money and you had your job. And you. That's what happens, folks. You have two people going separately. There's no unity there. And they say, well, this person has their money, this person has their money. Phooey! Why? You're supposed to be together. It's not your money, her money. It's ours. We're together in this life. Joint heirs in this life. What's the matter with you? You've been sold a bill of goods. You've been sold something. You're together. You're supposed to be with each other. There's not my money, your money. My stuff, your stuff. Where'd that come from? The devil, the world, the flesh, feminism. Not together. Come on, that's wrong. If you're a husband and you have that concept, get right with God. That is not biblical. For you say, well, and a lady should never have to say this either, by the way, and I get sick of hearing ladies say, well, it's his money, he works. Bull. That's wrong. Do you hear me? You should never make your wife feel like that. Oh, that's his money, he works. What? Where did that come from? What concept, where'd you get that from besides hell? Where'd that come from? Why? Why is it yours because you work? You're supposed to be one. How is it yours because you work? That sounds like the world's method, doesn't it? That sounds like the world's idea. That sounds like a worldly philosophy. It's not yours. It's ours. So write me a check. It's mine too. No, I'm just kidding. But it's yours together. Amen? As joint heirs. It's yours. Not my money because I work. Well, he can do what he wants. It's his money. You know, and I understand a man sometimes will do things, and I understand that. He's got to lead. He's got to do what he has to do. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is if that lady feels like, hey, well, that's his money, you've done something wrong. You're not doing something right. You're making her feel like she's just a little house slave that sits at home. Oh, you've not elevated her to the worth that God has given her. Amen. Are you listening to me? You've not elevated her to the worth that God has given her. She is equal with you together in that. You're together in that. It's yours. Why do you think when you die, everything you sign over to her? Amen? Should be together, folks. But that's what feminism is taught. It's taught a separate equality. Ladies says, well, that's my money. I've seen married couples like that. I know one right now that's, well, they're getting ready to separate right now. She's moving out in about a week. I can't say I didn't warn them 3 years ago. Night and day. year after year, hour after hour. Wouldn't listen. Wouldn't listen. She's ready to move out. My money, your money. Number four, fornication or licentiousness. That's what that was the next goal to them. Basically, fornication out of wedlock. Amen? Adultery, multiplicity of those things. No rules anymore. No boundaries anymore. Open marriages, so to speak. There are people out there that believe that. There are people out there like that. Open marriages. You can have another partner. You can do whatever you want. Folks, that's wicked. That's absolutely wicked. I'd punch some guy in the face if he said that to me. Sorry. I don't know if somebody wanted your wife, wouldn't you punch him in the face? I would. If that bothers you ladies, that's okay. It's supposed to. You're a woman. I'm a man. Amen? That's why we're to protect our wives. Amen? By the way, that is what you're supposed to do, man. Amen. But that was the goal. Fornication. Why? Because you make it so they're equal, then it's just a female man you're looking at. You're just looking at another equal with you, with just different organs and functions. That's it. It's the only difference. They just have long hair and they're prettier. They're just prettier. That's it. So now I can look at that person and say, well, it doesn't matter then. I can do whatever I want. Do you understand that? I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. Because I destroyed the gender boundaries. I took those away. You see the system. You see the plan. I changed it. I disillusioned in lowering the birth rate, the divorce rate. The devil had to attack the home. He had to, in America. He had to take America down. He had to take our churches down. I mean, look at the greatest revival, that Sandy Creek revival, the greatest revival in history that took place. Right after that, just 40, 50 years after that is when this crept in the South even. He had to stop it. He had to stop it. And he knew how to do it. Mom. Take mom out of the home. Make mom discontent. Change mom's natural use. Take her out of her environment. Do what he did in the Garden of Eden. If he could just do that, then he would change everything. And he did. And guess what? You and I bought into it. You and I bought into it. Amen. We bought into it. One of the aspects of these, every single one of us has bought into, or we have suffered the effects of it at least. Definitely suffered the effects of it. Number five, an increase in crime among women. Changed completely. Women changing who they were. I mean, it used to be that they would never, some states would say that we would never execute a woman or put her to death or anything like that. They just didn't hang women. They didn't do that. It was just something that they just kind of didn't do. Even if they did something wrong, they just wouldn't hang them. They were seen so differently than men. I mean, they're not really seen differently now, other than that maybe, but in other ways, they're not seen differently. Oh, I can work just as hard as that man. Depends on what you're doing. I know my dad was a grinder at John Deere, and I don't know any woman that could work like that. Unless you know, I don't know too many women that can pick up 150-pound casting with one hand and grind it with the other. Now, if that makes you mad, you might be a feminist. Or you have really big arms and you can do it. One of the two. And if it's the really big arms thing, then you take it up with Brother Hildebrand. That's all I'm saying. Just leave me out of it. He was just giving examples of some things in the media in 1901 or 1910 or something like that. Talking about this lady, Mrs. Mita Hodel, on trial for killing her father-in-law with poison. repudiated for previous confession to the police. You know, it's amazing that these ladies, I mean, and now you see ladies killing people. Murders among women now. Never was like that. That it just wasn't like that in America. Why? Because mom was home having babies. And she was taking care of the children. She was guiding the home. She was taking care of her husband. It wasn't like that. But when you get out of God's line and God's order and you decide you're going to change the natural use of what God has in order, then that's the outcome. He says this, it appears that women or the militant branch of the sex are claiming their right to equality even in the line of murder. Here as elsewhere, it is not rights or liberty that some of these unsexed creatures are claiming, but rather license. The very fact that 9 more or less prominent women should be on trial at one time for murder is quite enough to shock a nation. Now we would have hundreds of them right now. When all that is womanly and a woman dies, it would seem that it is time for that woman to die. Remember, he's a Baptist preacher that didn't pull any punches. He wrote some good books. Preached some good sermons. It will be granted that hitherto liquor has been the cause of most of the crimes of our country. Well, a lot of them, yeah. A lot of them. But then again, I don't believe in prohibition either. But I just don't believe in it. Because I don't believe you can legislate morality in a nation. You'll never be able to do that. It's God that does it. It's God that speaks to the heart. It's God that changes the heart. You can make everything you want to illegal in this country. Every single thing you want to, and I guarantee you, the federal government will still bring it over the border and sell it anyway. It's actually true. It's a game. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But he talks about how it has impacted ladies, the way people look at ladies. The murders, just the ability, the overstretching of lines. No difference. Acting like a man, no difference. I've seen it before. I've seen it in business. I've seen it everywhere. Where a lady acts just like a man. No different in their demeanor. You don't want that, do you? Amen? But in this day and age, that's harder to find that that's not the case. And when I say act like a man, I mean they can't nurture a baby. I've seen some of these ladies. They can't hold a baby. They can't do that. What Mrs. Meyer is doing back there, some of those ladies today, they don't even know how to hold a baby. They don't know what they're doing with it. I have no idea. No affection, no natural affection, nothing. Just all taken away. By what? Feminist movement. Just taking it completely away. How about feminism in the church? Feminism in the church, the utter disregard of the teaching of God's Word, the feminist concerns concerning women speaking in mixed public assemblies has been abundantly shown in another volume. He wrote another book about it. But anyway, the Sunday school has an orchestra of bob-haired girls playing stringed instruments. He was talking about this back then, that it was a big deal for him. Some of the churches have young ladies for ushers in order to attract young men to the church. And we don't do that around here. Because I think Luke can attract it, I know what you Luke's a fine-looking usher, so we don't have to worry about that, do we, Luke? But this may perhaps catch the young men, but will it hold them? Now, he's talking about pragmatism that was creeping in 100 years ago or more. He's saying it's coming. They're changing everything in the churches. If it requires this to catch them, how will you keep them? The Northern Baptist Convention has already witnessed the spectacular stunt of a woman president, that the stool of repentance should certainly come next. He was saying it's coming right there. It's worthy of note that this spiritual disgrace did not come until the leadership of the convention became gangrened with evolution and destructive criticism. You see that? Evolution and feminism. Just like that. Together. Just like, can't separate them. Cannot separate them. They're together. Marxism, you cannot separate. They're all together. All play in the same field. They're all together. The Southern Baptist Convention has admitted women as messengers and given them representation on committees, and the end is not yet. It goes without saying that the member is a body, and a body of this character carries with it all the rights and privileges of the body. What's next? Would it not be entirely, listen, this is written a long time ago, would it not be entirely in order to appoint a woman as a chairman of a committee and permit her to speak of her report? May the time not come when a woman shall preside over the convention and another preach the introductory sermon? It was freely predicted that when women were admitted as messengers that they would claim no further rights in this regard, but time has clearly demonstrated that this was the opening wedge, and it is now evident that even some of our Southern feminists are prepared to go to the logical limit of their contention. At the recent meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, a woman came very nearly being elected vice president of the convention. So you see how they viewed leadership, and it was viewed all the way down the line. It was a man that led. So was God sexist? Was his order sexist for that many years? So God's order that he set down from the New Testament that never changed until what? Evolution, the rise of evolution, Marxism, and feminism. But we see it now through different eyes. And what we see it through is modern eyes, and we think, well, that preacher just sounds barbaric to say something like that. That just sounds so demeaning. A woman can do it just as good as a man or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter if she could do it better than a man. It matters what God's order is. That's what matters. And guess what, folks? I didn't make the Bible up. It's God's book. Whether you and I are comfortable with it or not, it makes no difference. It's God's book. He wrote it. Amen? It's His. And He lays down the order. And you and I have to respect that order. Now, we can be rebellious if we want to. And we can go out of the rule. And there are some that would have left and will leave this church because of that. When they come, they'll leave because they don't like that. Because these are the hot button topics that are preached about that people don't like to hear today. But can I say this? If you were a student of anything, you would study the Bible and then study history and see that I'm not out of line with what everybody taught all the way since the New Testament, since the Garden of Eden, all the way down the role of a lady, a husband, and his wife. I didn't change, folks. God never changed. We changed. We rebelled against God. And that's why so many men are wanting to elect a woman president. Men. You think about that. If that isn't the effect of feminism, I don't know what is. Amen? Because we've destroyed, all the boundaries have been destroyed. They've been erased, so God's order has been completely erased. Amen? It's crept into our churches. Not ours as much, but it's crept into many churches today. But you know what? You know what's sad? I have preached these messages to you on marriage and the biblical wife and everything and all these, and on family and home and everything like that. And you know how many people of you that I've had come to say, I've never heard that before. Never heard that before. I've never heard that preached through like that before. It's sad. That's sad that we can say that I've never heard a message on the biblical woman or the proper order or the divine order of the sexes. I've never heard that before. Think about that. Tell me that's not sad that we don't know that already. That's not been taught to us. That's not been preached to us. Listen, folks, I have not taken anything from that Word of God out of context when I've taught it to you and I've preached it to you. I've not taken the divine role of a wife out of context or a mother or anything else. I have not changed the context of that. That is exactly how it was written. Amen? Nothing has changed. Now, maybe it doesn't make us comfortable all the time. I'll agree with you there. And people will get upset with you. They will say, well, I don't like your view on ladies in the church, your view on what the Bible says. I mean, sorry, I guess, if you don't like it, but I'm not sorry for the truth. I'm sorry you're rebellious and you can't receive the truth. That no one ever taught you the truth. Amen? But that doesn't mean I love him any less. That doesn't mean that I don't care for him. It just means that I have to stand before God and bring the truth. And what this generation needs is a man to look at you from the pulpit that is spirit-filled, that looks at you and tells you, thus saith the Lord, no matter if the faces are funny, or they look at you wrong, or they don't like it, or they're mad at you, or they're angry at you, or they want to gnash on you with their teeth, or they want to charge the pulpit and take you out of there. Because sometimes I know you might think that in your mind. But whatever the case may be, somebody has to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. You look at what the Bible says, what he said to Jeremiah. He said, Ezekiel. He said, I've given you a face harder than their face. As Adam and stone, I've given you a face harder than them. I've given you a constitution harder than them, stronger than them, so you'll look at their faces, be not dismayed by them, but preach thus saith the Lord. Regardless. And folks, that's what's needed today. As uncomfortable as it is, in many ways, why don't we just concentrate more on conforming to the image of Christ and the Word of God and lay our pride aside and everything else and say, you know what, if this is biblical truth, I want biblical truth. Amen? Because if you look at our country right now and our churches, pragmatism just hasn't done a whole lot for us besides bring us straight down. Huh? Think on those things. Father, thank you so much. I pray you bless the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.